Well, desire your prayers again this evening. I have a little bit of the scripture to share with you, a little story in the Old Testament, and one that perhaps isn't talked about or discussed a lot, but it has a lot of a weight in it, I believe. Before we read this story, though, we'll ask the simple question, and I'm sure I already know the answer, but does everyone in here enjoy having mercy extended to them? Of course we do. That goes without saying. But sometimes, perhaps it's a good reminder. The fact of the matter is, we all are human, and we have our, if we could say, things that frustrate us or irritate us or get under our skin or sometimes you don't feel like extending mercy to someone, but something I know I've been trying to get through to my boys anyway is teaching them the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat them the way you want to be treated. And that's sometimes not easy to do. But I find that a lot of times the Lord will give us opportunities. Give us a chance to prove what's inside of us and give us opportunities. In other words, we'll put it this way. He'll give us where perhaps we have the power and authority within ourselves to lord it over someone and to crush them or to have mercy and pity and compassion on them. And I'll share just a little story. I've shared this before, but we'll start with saying, of course, as I've gotten older and have nephews of my own and children of my own, and sometimes they come around our house and whether it's one of my tools or old toys or something in the house or whatever, gets broken. And perhaps it's something that I'm, you know, kind of attached to. And the first reaction would be, you know, well, why in the world you do that? And try to, you know, get to the bottom of it. And, you know, just sure hope that don't happen again type of thing, you know. But many times when perhaps I'm tempted to maybe act rashly or whatever, I remember a story when I was a child and pretty young at the time. Don't remember the exact age. But I was at one of my aunt's houses and was horsing around like young boys will do, kind of rambunctious and playing around the house. And we were warned that we better settle down, something's going to get broke, and didn't really heed the warning. And the end of the story is I knocked over my aunt's cup, and it was a nice ceramic cup she had sitting there on the lampstand, knocked it over and busted into millions of pieces. And she heard it. She's in the other room. And I'm holding my breath. Like, oh, no. We already warned. And this is a special cup to her. Don't even know the story behind it, but it was special to her for some reason. But the long and short of it is, she had mercy upon me. She walked in there, saw the mess. And if I remember correctly, she even cleaned it up herself. Didn't even, you know. And that, again, I was just a little guy when that happened. But that's, I've never forgot that. And sometimes I'm reminded of that, that when I have the power and authority, the opportunity like she had, she could have crushed me easily to where I would have never wanted to come back to her house. You understand the thought there? That she had that in her power, but she chose rather to show mercy and compassion and kindness and when she didn't have to. And I know that this may seem like a little trivial thought, but I want to tell you something. The Lord, there's a little song, a little children's song. Be faithful in the little things, and He'll make you ruler over all. You be faithful to the Lord in these little things that may seem insignificant, and no one else knows, and perhaps so-and-so deserves what they got. Maybe they deserve a tongue lashing from me. You understand what I'm saying? And maybe they don't deserve mercy or compassion in this situation because they've done it over and over and over and over. And you would think they'd get a clue after a while, but what about it? Well, and I also reminded too, and this goes, I guess, more in a physical sense, but again, I believe, and it leads to another train of thought here. I remember, again, as a younger child, playing Mercy with my brothers, my cousins. And I was usually one of the smallest and youngest. And I remember thinking, one of these days, I'm going to be bigger, I'm going to be stronger, and I'll get to squeeze somebody's hands one of these days. And I'll get to, you know. But I'm going to tell you something. There were times when maybe they didn't give Mercy when they should have, but there were times when, and not just in those little games, but in other ways that I was shown mercy and compassion, and maybe I was not being the best myself. You know, maybe I deserved some of that. But the point is, as we get older and we mature, and this brings into light as us as husbands and fathers, to where there's a chain of command. You see, we as husbands and fathers, we're head of the household. We're responsible. We're supposed to be leaders. But it has to start with God first. And when we as men, and I'm just talking to the men right now, but when we truly submit ourselves to the Lord, and when we truly practice mercy and compassion upon our fellow man, especially those that we could crush them if we so desired, we could line them out, you know, tell them where they stand, or we can physically put them in their place, so to speak. I mean, you name it. When we have that power, but when we submit that and say, Lord, and you submit it back to the Lord, we submit ourselves to the Lord, then the Lord will take care of the rest. But then it also goes, it's a trickle-down effect. And I'm going to tell you something. I've talked with some young men that they had fathers, or they had grandparents, whoever their guardians were. But when they were younger, they were abused. Maybe not physically, but perhaps emotionally or verbally abused. And they are scarred for life. Scarred for life. And here's what happens. The trend of the world is each generation without the Lord gets worse and worse and worse. That's what the Bible says, that sin's going to wax worse and worse. And that's the nature of it. Without the Lord's intervention. And so what I'm saying, again, just speaking to the men here tonight, and even the young men, take note. Remember, maybe you have younger brothers, cousins. Start practicing mercy and compassion now. Because as you get older, there'll come a time when you'll need that on hand. And not only that, as an adult, I've even had folks, when I deserve much less, would have compassion upon me. And let me tell you something. Even at 35 years old, it would kind of melt my heart thinking, wow, they didn't have to do that, you know. And it made me want to go have compassion on someone else. It made me want to, Lord, help me to be better. But here's the story in 2 Samuel, the 4th chapter. We'll read one verse, and then we'll read the actual story in 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter. This is the story of Mephibosheth. Maybe you all remember that. In 2 Samuel 4, verse 4, we'll read what happened to begin with. This is after King Saul and Jonathan were killed in war. And in verse 4, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Now, to some, you know, reading the book of Samuel here, Mephibosheth kind of drops out of the picture. But it was put in there for a reason. That little verse about this one man, this one child at this time. Because later, years later, when he's an adult, years go by, and King David, obviously he is king, and much power and authority. In the 9th chapter, let's just go ahead and, I may not read all the verses, there's several verses here, but we'll kind of skip through it and get the gist of the story. 2 Samuel 9, verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any left of the house of Saul that I may shew him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" See, he was good friends with Jonathan. And there's something about when you make friends and close bonds and ties with someone, that a lot of times it goes beyond just that one individual. It goes and it spreads to the others of their family. But along with that thought, think of this. The animosity and hatred that you may have for an individual, a lot of times goes beyond just that one individual. And it spreads as well to their children and their grandchildren, so on and so forth. But the key was, King David dealt with King Saul at the very beginning. And he didn't allow that hatred and animosity to go down to Jonathan. And he didn't allow it to go on down to his grandson, Mephibosheth, you see. That was something that King David committed over to the Lord. But here we have King David asking about Jonathan and his children, or his house. It says, "And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba, and who had and when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Yes, he is. Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may shew the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, and the son of Amiel in Lobedar. Then King David sent and fetched him. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. Now I want to say here, I doubt David just said, like I said, Mephibosheth. I doubt he said it in that tone. And with that, I believe it was, Mephibosheth, where have you been? It's like, I forgot about you, you know. No doubt he, with all the other chaos that was going on in King David's life, he probably forgot about this young man. Well, obviously he did, because he was asking, is there anyone left? If he really knew about him, he would have known where he was, and so on and so forth. But with the help of this servant, he finds Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth comes in bowing at his feet. And you know, rightfully so, because this was the king. And perhaps Mephibosheth, I don't know all the stories that perhaps his father Jonathan told him before his father died, before Jonathan was killed in battle, but he was 5 years old, so no doubt he'd heard a few stories. And maybe he knew of King David and the kindness that David had showed him. But through all these years, I don't know the exact time frame, maybe it was 15 years, I don't know, that Mephibosheth was grown up. He was a young man, still lame with his feet, not able to get around and probably not able to care for himself. That, you know, they didn't have a true welfare system back then, disability, those type of things. But here is, I wonder what was going through his mind when he was sent for, you know, when I'm supposed to go to the king. And perhaps that's why he's like, well, I'm going to play it safe and I'm just, you know, bowed before him and true reverence. But King David had, it's interesting how he responded here. It says, and David said unto him, fear not. In other words, be at ease, you know, just get up. I want to talk to you. For I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Now, you realize that King David could have stopped right there. And that would have been great and wonderful. That would have been more than what he was. He wasn't even asking for anything. Okay? It was just because of someone else's faithfulness, okay, someone else's love and their friendship, that Mephibosheth was even getting some of this property back. And no doubt it was going to be of great use to him. Of course, he was lame, you know, so what could he do with the property? But restore him all the land. But King David didn't stop there. He went a little further. He says, "And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Wow. So not only do you get all this property back, but you're going to eat at my table continually. And you read on, it says, "He bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all of his house. Thou therefore and all thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." And then Ziba said unto the king, "According to all that my lord king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. And he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. So it's as if at the very last here, reminding us again that he's still lame at his feet. Okay, so King David could not heal him. All right, he couldn't deliver. But yet there was many things that King David could do. And he didn't just stop at giving him the property. He also provided servants to work up the property and provide food. And not only that, why don't you just stay with me here in Jerusalem and eat at my table daily? And you know what this reminds me of? This is something, if we could, again, I mentioned this morning about King David being a type of Christ in different ways. But truly, if Jesus was, just humor me for a bit here, if Jesus would have taken a literal leadership position such as being a king and having a domain and a city and all these things, this would be what Jesus would do, okay? But Jesus was, he was looking beyond that. He wasn't dwelling on the physical, literal earth. He went above and beyond what was much more important. And in the spiritual realm, is doing that for us today. Having mercy and compassion upon sinners. And upon even those of us that are living for the Lord, we still need mercy and compassion. Because there's still times that we could say we stub our toe, okay? We do things or we say things that maybe we shouldn't have done. Maybe I should have had some more mercy and compassion upon him. But here we have King David showing an excellent example of showing kindness and mercy and compassion on someone that he could have, let's face it, not that he was wasting money on him, but he was spending money and time and effort to see that compassion and kindness was showed to this young man. And you know, that's a challenge to you and I. You've heard the saying about going the extra mile with someone. In this busy day and age, that's not easy to do, especially if it's something that takes your time. You know, it took some time for David to follow through with this and to see to it that he was cared for properly. And he was a king. He had many other more important things to do. But yet he was willing to stop and make sure that someone that was lame, someone that was disabled, made sure they were cared for. What a shining example for you and I. Not that we are wealthy, perhaps, but maybe in the goodness of the Lord and all the mercies and compassions and the kindnesses that the Lord has extended to us, guess what? We can pass those on down to someone else. We can pass on down that love, that kindness, the things that we've experienced. What's the scripture say in Matthew 5 and 7? It says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." You know, that's a wonderful promise. That is a promise given to us that the Lord is mindful of every single little deed that we're doing, whether good or bad. If we're truly extending out in good intentions, trying to help someone, and maybe we're rejected, maybe we're ignored and get cold shoulder or whatever, the Lord's looking upon that. And the Lord also sees the times when perhaps we weren't so kind, that we weren't so merciful. Well, there's another story. I'm not going to read this whole story, but it's in Matthew, the 18th chapter. And it's just a reminder, again, of the tendencies we have as humans. It's in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 23 through 35. I'm not going to read all these scriptures. But it's the account of the unmerciful servant. And you have here where a servant owed his master a great sum of money. And he was forgiven that. And then that very servant himself went back to someone else that owed him something. And he couldn't pay it back. He wasn't able to. And that original servant that had mercy showed upon him to begin with, he threatened him, saying, "Oh no, you better," you know, did not show mercy and compassion upon him, and treated him. It was as if sometimes we have short-term memory, do we not? And I'm not. This is. It's just something that I know we as humans, we have so much on our minds, and it's so easy. Even we'll just bring this close to home. It's easy just to ignore someone, pretend you don't really hear them, you don't really understand, and you just kind of complain, you know, whatever, you know, kind of ignore them, that very person that maybe you ignored or you just didn't really pay attention or you didn't go the extra mile with them. Perhaps, just perhaps, that person is in great need of a friend, is in great need of some mercy and compassion, because maybe they've been crushed for years themselves, and they're bleeding inside, and they're just kind of like little zombies walking around. They don't know, you know, and they end up kind of rubbing shoulders with you a little bit, and you just kind of, just get away. You know, King David could have done that with Mephibosheth, that he came in lame, like, "Well, okay, here's the property, just go on your way, you know, just go, that's good enough." But no, he went the extra mile. Say, "No, you stay here, and you eat at my table, at my expense." That's true love and mercy and compassion. And there's scriptures that, again, as this story we're talking about, the unmerciful servant. In the end, see how this ends up. It's makes you stop and think a little bit. At the end, it says, "And when his fellow servants saw what was done," verse 31, "they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he called him, said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant,'" that was the original servant that was forgiven, "I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him." You know, you hear the saying, "What goes around comes around." There's a story, I've shared this before, and I won't bore you with all the details. Another personal story, I don't like to share too many of them, but for what it's worth, a business dealing years ago, someone took advantage of me on a building project, and I felt kind of ruffles your feathers a little bit sometimes. And anytime I'd see him in town, just kind of, you know, and hear his name mentioned or see his advertisements or whatever, you know, just kind of rub you the wrong way. But then there came a time a few years later, the truth came out in some of his dealings. He was kind of crooked, kind of and had some other personal issues, committed some crimes, and ultimately put in the slammer, put in the pen. But I remember a time before some of the sentencing and hearings and all that stuff, he was actually in town with his wife and saw him at a restaurant. And he looked totally different. Didn't really recognize him, but there was nothing I should have done, but I could have taken opportunity and went over there and spoke with him. Not bring up anything, you know, about, but just chat with him, friendly, howdy, whatever. But I didn't go out of my way and just kind of, you know, went out the door and just acted like he was never there type of thing. And the Lord kind of challenged me on that. And there's been other occasions too, but, and it's not that I was going to try to win him over to the Lord and try to do whatever, you know. But the point is, the Lord knows what's in our hearts. The Lord knew what's in this man's heart. And the Lord also knows what's in my heart. And even to this day, and I remember making some rash statements after all of it took place that, well, I'm going to go do some negative advertising for this guy. You know, go tell everybody, you don't go use this, you know, so-and-so, and try to, you know, basically, you know, wanting to run him down. But there's also a side of it, now that I've been in my own personal business for a while, contract work, there's been a few times maybe on a project that I didn't perform as well as I should have. And you realize that my clients have the same opportunity to do some negative advertising for me. And that kind of made me stop and reflect a little bit. I'm like, you know, perhaps I should continue to show mercy and compassion and let the Lord deal with this man. You know, yes, he treated me unfairly. Yeah, I felt taken advantage of. You know, I was younger at the time and he just kind of bulldoze over me, you know. But we'll have opportunities to show mercy and compassion on someone else. And the Lord has been faithful to bring others in my life since then to test me. Have you got the lesson? Have you learned, you know, that you can go the extra mile and you can forgive, okay? And let the Lord take care of it. Let the Lord be judge. There's some more scriptures in Psalms 86 and 15. It says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." And there's another one here in Micah 7 and 18. It says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." If someone delights in something, that means it's on their mind constantly. And you know, perhaps that's a challenge for you and I, that we keep this on our mind, fresh on our mind, that Lord, you had mercy and compassion upon me when I didn't deserve it. So Lord, teach me to do likewise. And teach me to go the extra mile. We're not talking about going so far as casting your pearls before swine and being unwise in what God has given us to be stewards over. But when you have opportunity, and it's not just with your goods and with your money, but it's with your time, it's with your words, it's with your actions, it's with your friendships, it's with your forgiveness or your non-forgiveness, the Lord, help me go the extra mile. Just like King David did with Mephibosheth, he sought him out, okay? And he didn't stop just at the property. He went the extra mile, say, at my expense, eat at my table. You and I can do the same. Jesus showed us the examples many times over. And he didn't have all the worldly things to offer, but yet he had eternal life to offer. And he offered it to you and I as sinners when we are unworthy of it. We didn't deserve it. We deserve to die, okay? But Jesus had mercy and compassion on us. And forgiving us, giving us a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. So Lord, help us to do the same. You pray for me that I'd be faithful.